course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. Recovering from the loss of another Halloween.
That's right. It is sad, but like our shirt says, which is available to purchase, people. Link in the description. Go buy a shirt. Spooktober is a year-round event, so we will do our due diligence to try to keep the spooky stuff going as we enter the holiday, these Christmas season, I guess, what I want to say. But it is always sad when Halloween passes, though. It is kind of like the highlight for us. So.
Sure.
But speaking of Halloween, we are reviewing the fan film Halloween Aftermath. We're going to talk all about that in a little bit. That movie is available on YouTube, as I will mention later in the show, but I want to tell you right now, we will put a link in the description so that you can watch this. It is free to watch via YouTube. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Before we get there, we get lots of stuff to talk about. And let's begin with Ike. Did you watch anything else this week?
Nothing too crazy. I did rewatch the Halloween 2018 on Halloween, and then I subsequently watched Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends, sort of in preparation for the movie we're reviewing this week. So,
yeah, I watched those as well. I watch those with Monica. She watches the entire Halloween franchise on Halloween Eve and Halloween. So, I jumped in there with the last three when she got to those, and I watched those. I did watch. Let's see that. What do you think? I rewatched Killer Clowns, just because it's Killer Clowns. I watch it semi regularly. I don't think I watched it. Oh, I did watch episode two of Welcome to Derry. Did you watch episode two, or are you waiting until you get a few episodes out there?
Yeah, I'm gonna try and wait for a couple more episodes. Kayla does not like watching episodes. She hates it when shows release them like that. So typically, she'll try and wait for them all to come out. So I'm kind of waiting for that. But
she would have never survived in the 80s or 90s.
Now, even when she was a kid, back in the Disney Channel days, she used to hate the old, like, whatever, I can't remember show. Oh, she used to really like Hannah Montana. She'd always complain. She said when she was a kid that Hannah Montana had to come out, weekly or biweekly.
Yeah, I still think there's value in releasing it weekly because it prolongs your exposure, right? Your whatever you want to call it, your relevance in social media and stuff, right? Each week,
Right.
if it comes out, so I do understand that, right? It keeps you kind of in the public eye a little longer. But I do understand the binge watch mentality as well. I don't mind, with something like this, I'm going to watch each episode as they come out. And, I think the series is still going strong. I'm still on board. I'm still with them. I think they're doing good things. So, but we'll talk about that in the future when you watch a few more episodes. Other than that, I don't think I watched anything else. I think just Killer Clowns. Welcome to Derry. I think that's it as far as horror movies go. There's always that, that post Halloween kind of wind down. I'm always watching stuff, but not as intensely as I do in October. So, all right then. Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have some news and all that good stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So, got a couple good things here, but starting us off, this past weekend, Robert Englund received his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. This is always exciting. You know, it's just a good acknowledgement time for anybody who gets, like, a Hollywood star. You know what I mean? I know it's not like an award that they give to people, per se. I think they have to buy their star. But it is exciting that, like, you know, that he finally got his star. I do think he deserves it. I would definitely go to see that.
Yeah, definitely. And I would venture to guess somebody kind of backed this star. And Robert Englund wasn't paying that out of pocket. I would venture to guess someone funded that. But it is past due, right? I mean, I get what it is, right? The star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, blah, blah, blah. It is what it is. I don't know. It's not as maybe as grandiose as what one thinks it should be. But anyway, if anybody does deserve one, literally, it is Robert Englund. And it was pretty cool seeing the clips, you know, of Robert giving some, you know, talking and some of the different, you know, people that he had starred with or starred in these, you know, the Nightmare movies was there to speak. It was cool seeing that, right? He deserves all the props, all the flowers, all the recognition, no matter what it is, no matter if people have to pay, whatever it is, Robert Englund deserves all the praise in the world for his work. He is so talented, and because of him, Freddie is a pop culture icon. Someone different in that role, it doesn't. I don't think it lands as well. It is you got to put a lot of that credit on him. And what he did with that character. So, obviously, an icon, right? You talk about, you know, people talk Mount Rushmore, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows who Freddy Krueger is, and that's because of Robert Englund. So, he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's definitely on the – I think that he's, I would say, almost shoe-in for most people's Mount Rushmore of, you know, horror characters and
horror
actors,
right? We talk about that there's that holy trinity, right? I mean, Jason, Michael, Freddy. Everybody knows those. Everybody knows. If you don't watch horror movies, you know who they are, right? My mother-in-law hates horror movies, hates them with a passion, will not watch them, leaves the room if anything slightly spooky comes on. She knows who they are, though, right? How can you not? It has crossed. It's not just horror. It's crossed next level pop culture recognition worldwide. People know who Freddy Krueger is. And I just think you got to put that weight, that response, you know, that accountability all on Robert Englund. Because again, the wrong person in that role, you wind up with one movie, one and done with that franchise. If you get the wrong person cast as Freddy Krueger. You know, I mean, he spawned, good God, a whole franchise of movies, a TV show that spawned out of it, merchandise out the wazoo. Still, to this day, even though they've not put a movie out in forever and it's blah, 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 it's lost in legal, whatever, limbo, it's still franchise. I mean, it's still merchandised. And again, I think, right, Wes Craven created a good story, a good character. And then Robert Englund took that ball and freaking ran it for the touchdown took it to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, it's no offense to anybody else in that franchise because they were all great. But if you don't get that right person as Freddy, it's not going to succeed. That's just the way it is. It's not like Michael Myers. It's not like Jason. Where it's somebody behind a mask, you don't know who they are, right? With Freddy, you see the facials. You see the eyes. you see much more. I mean, he speaks, which the other two don't. That's all on Robert Englund and that delivery to make it what it is. It wouldn't have worked the same way if it hadn't been him. So.
No, absolutely. And actually, I don't know. I was looking into this the other day. Did you know that the originally it was intended for Freddie to be played by a different actor in every movie? That they didn't intend on it having been just the same person. They kind of intended it to be sort of what had, kind of what other movies in that realm were doing is, whoever was ready to play him would play him. But
Wouldn't
they
work.
actually no. Well, they screen tested, and there was a couple scenes in Nightmare on Elm Street 2 with the other guy.
Yeah.
There's like one scene. I think it's in the shower. You can kind of very barely see it, but yeah. I mean, it's a very different look. It's a very different demeanor, and it basically didn't test well. So they were like, okay, let's get Robert Englund back in here.
Yeah, and and that's again, that's part of that catch 22 they're in, right? If the franchise is to move forward, who is it? Robert Englund said, I'm not playing Freddy anymore physically. So who is it? Who can take that helm and do it, right? I mean, you gotta. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question, right? I think Robert Englund has to be involved in that process, to me, if you're smart. But again, I don't know, right? It's a legal disaster. I don't know. Will we ever see more Nightmare? Who knows? It's
Yeah,
a mess.
it really is. So I mean, I think we'll be hard pressed to get more Nightmare content at least for a few more years while some of this stuff, settles itself out. But yeah, I've heard
I don't
some
know.
different fan casts and stuff like that. I know Robert Englund himself has said that he thinks Kevin Bacon would be a good Freddy.
I've heard Kevin Bacon. I know there's a lot of whatever. I don't even know where it came from. A lot of buzz right now about Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where do you get that, right? Jim Carrey doesn't really do a lot. And yes, right? Would Jim Carrey probably nail it? Yeah, because he's a very physical actor. But would Jim Carrey do it? I don't know. I don't. It's weird, but you can't believe what you hear online because people are just fan casting. And yeah, I think Kevin Bacon can do it. I think there's a handful of guys that can do it. But again, I think when you if you get to that point where you have to make a decision, I really think Robert Englund needs to have a little say in that. It's a passing of the torch moment, and maybe it won't. I don't know. Hollywood, who knows? They'll hire some young unknown, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. Who knows? But I don't hold my breath for any future Nightmare content. But I said the same thing about Friday the 13th, and here we are about to get Crystal Lake. So never say never, but
True. As Justin Bieber says, never say never.
there you go.
Never say never.
I don't know if Bieber's our standard, but whatever. At some point, someone's got to swallow some pride. There's money on the table. Get over it, guys. Quit freaking belly aching and let's just do this thing. And,
That's always been my big, like, I guess preoccupation when I think about any of this legal bullshit. It's like at the end of the day, these fuckers want money. Like, why are they letting some bullshit squabbles? Which, I mean, at least with the Nightmare on Elm Street stuff, a lot of that was just bullshit. Like, it was literally nothing.
It's all about who wants more money. That's what they wanted. That's where that boils down to, right? They all want the money, but it's like who should get more money and who should get more. Good grief. There's plenty to be made. No one's gonna be in the soup kitchen. Let's
No.
just do it. I mean, I don't know. I understand there's a lot of wheels in motion. I get it, but I don't know. I
That
know
doesn't
we've
mean I gotta like
That's right.
it.
I know we veered way off. Whatever, despite all that, despite all the mumbo jumbo with Nightmare on Elm Street, Robert Englund deserves his flowers. However it may come, he deserve I I'm happy anytime he gets any praise because he's a wonderful actor. He was the heart of that franchise and made it what it was. And from what I've seen, experienced, and heard, he's always been, a very good representative of of horror at conventions and whatnot. So I'm always happy when people praise Robert Englund. And I'm glad he got that weekend, right? Halloween, it was cool. It was timely. It was great, right? It was a nice moment. Everybody was talking about it. I'm glad, right? He deserves that.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, that was just the first bit of our news, so
Yeah, we
we'll try.
really got sidetracked, so we need to focus in.
It happens. But so this next one, the first trailer for Scream 7 was released. I think it was released around this time last week, about before Halloween. And all I'm going to say, and I'll try not to be long-winded about this, 100% Stu's coming back. I mean, they didn't say it outright, but like I watched that trailer and I analyzed that trailer like under a fucking microscope. And there's two scenes, there's two voice lines that sound like Matthew Lillard. It sounds like Stu
Yes.
Mocker. And I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but like it almost feels like they're like rubbing my nose in it. Like yeah,
Gotcha. Well,
I think it's there.
yeah, I mean, the thing is, first of all, right up front, good trailer. I
Yes.
like the premise, I think. So far, so good. We know Matthew Lillard's gonna be in it, right? That's been announced. Everybody knows, right? Along with two-thirds of the other people in the franchise.
Yeah.
But what sealed the deal for me is right at the end of that trailer whenever it says something about, this is going to be so fun, or whatever the quote was. That's Matthew Lillard.
Yeah.
That's a hearkening back to the first Scream. That
Mom's
is,
gonna be so mad at me.
yeah, I mean, come on. He is, this is not going to be some bit cameo. Matthew Lillard is playing a major part, and my gut says, and again, I know people are out there posting what they quote unquote say are spoilers, what that they know what the movie, and I don't read those. I don't care. My gut says, I think this Scream is going to be different from any other Scream. It's not going to be your prototypical someone's killing people, we're going to wait all movie, and oh, the mask is off at the end. Who is it? I think this one's going to try something unique. And I don't think, again, I think Matthew Lillard, Stu, is definitely going to be in it, but I don't think he is acting alone.
No.
And I think it's going to be very layered, complex. I think we're going to see all these people that are coming back because I think they're going to, for lack of a better word, I think they're going to retcon some stuff. And there's going to be flashbacks. I'm not saying they're changing the story. I'm just saying they're going to add little bits here and there that maybe imply. My gut says that Stu was more involved here and there than what we think. Doesn't make
Yeah,
sense.
I think they're gonna pull a Saul 7 or Saul 8 or whatever it was,
Yeah.
where Carrie Ell's character from the first movie was like a lot more involved than we thought he was. Like he was behind the scenes. So I think they're gonna pull something like that where they kind of like bury the lead a little bit, but for sure he's been around, I feel like, in some fashion for a lot of this.
Yeah, and I think some of these people coming back, I think it's just going to be brief scenes, brief flashbacks about whatever it may be, just slight interactions here and there, not to change the story, but just to add another layer to it. It's not going to change anything, right? But we know certain things, right? We know the half brother from what is it, three,
Yeah.
Roman. We know that he had interactions. That he supposedly nudged Billy and Stu, right? They say that in the movie, that he went back, he right, he had a like. So I think maybe we'll see a little bit of that because he's supposed to be in the movie. Dewey's supposed to be in it. I think this is just it's going to be just slight things about maybe the death scenes or this and that here and there. But again, I don't know that the Stu thing is going to be the big surprise of the movie. I think the big, maybe the big surprise, the big reveal is more going to be who's working with Stu.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to know that Stu is a proponent in this. I mean, they've already announced it, that he's going to be in it. So it's fun. I'm excited. Again, I get excited for every Scream movie. I enjoy them all to one degree or another, but I'm super excited for this one because it's one of those where it's like they've said all this, right? All these people involved. So what are they doing? So it's really intriguing, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Absolutely. But all right, there's our mandatory Scream talk for this
That's right.
week.
That's right.
But all right, moving on to our last little bit of quote unquote news, I guess. And then we'll get into our birthdays and all that good stuff. But after saying Last Rites is going to be the final film in the Conjuring series, it appears that a prequel movie is now in development. Now, if I doth recall, I recall, Dave, you saying that you thought that they put these actors because they hired actors for like a younger Ed and Lorraine Warren. I feel like you said that you kind of thought maybe they were maybe at least humoring the idea of a prequel because they went out of their way to find actors who were kind of lookalikes.
That's right. Here's the thing. $500 million, suppose, or whatever it is that this movie made. You don't end on that. You don't say there's a $500 million movie and you say, okay, yeah, we're just done. No, you're gonna say, oh, there's money to still be had. That studio, that production company, whatever it is, they're not gonna let that go. Right? They established some young actors in that in the Last Rites. I'm assuming they're probably coming back. That's my gut, right? Yeah, I thought that was the route they were going to go, right? Is it going to be Conjuring as we know it? Nope, because it's not going to have the same people in it. And here they are, bam, they're saying prequel. I'm not surprised by this. As successful as that movie was, I think they set it up where if this happened, they were ready. The movie really, really performed,
Yeah.
so they're going to do another. And I don't blame them. Right, and this is, I don't know, I don't care, right? I don't care if they said it's the final film, do another. I don't care if you go back on that, sure, but it's a unique way to do it, right? You're not really saying, okay, we're not bringing them back to do another. This is a prequel. This is a little different. It's got a different flavor, so it's a way to keep that franchise going, and it's still. They didn't say that the universe was done.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just they just were saying, hey, the mainline Conjuring stuff, we're done. Yeah, okay, not exactly, right? They're doing a prequel, that's still kind of mainline, but we're talking different actors playing the characters and stuff. So it is different. So this doesn't surprise me. We talked about this. I think we called this. We knew this was going to happen because it had such a big opening weekend, such a big performance in the box office. I think we thought, hey, they showed young actors in there. Whoop, okay, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what they were gonna do here, in my eyes. So, yeah,
Yeah.
I think we called this. And hey, I'm excited, right? Do it, go for it. Who cares?
Yeah. Absolutely. And 100% what you said. I'm not trying to be rude. This is a money printing machine, and Lorraine Warren, the whole Conjuring universe. So it was bound to happen, but I'm excited. We'll have to wait until we get some more news. But I have a good feeling. I think James Wan isn't going to let his baby get torn apart. You know what I mean? He's going to make sure that this is done right.
Yeah, it's something. It's they're doing something different, so it doesn't run that. To me, it doesn't run that risk of kind of being boring, right? Where you're seeing, oh, yet another story. Now this is different, right? This is a little more the backstory. Tell us a little bit. Show us a little bit. How did they get started doing this stuff? Let's do that. So it's well, it's the it's what we're familiar with. It's a new chapter of it, so I think it's the right move. I mean, if they just come out and we're going to do another movie, I think that would have been, I think people would have been like, okay, yeah, you said the last one, I think this is different. This is the right way to go with it. I have no doubts. It'll probably still make a lot of money.
For sure. For sure.
I'll watch it.
Oh, me too. Me too. But all right. Well, that does it for our news. We're going to jump now to some birthdays. We're going to try and rock and roll through the birthdays and the billion movie anniversary we have this week.
Yeah. Well, I'll try not to rattle so much. We'll
Same.
pound. We'll get through these.
All right. So we're going to start with November 6th. Crazy, it's November, but November 6th, 1970, we have Ethan Hawke, known for his roles, of course, in a lot of shit, but specifically Black Phone 1 and 2 and Sinister. Obviously, Dave and I are huge fans of the Black Phone series. We also like black holes too. We're a
Sure.
huge, huge astrological and
That's right.
science fan. So, not kidding. But we love Black Phone. We just reviewed Black Phone 2, and we reviewed the first one. So make sure you guys check those reviews out in the archives.
That's right. Love Ethan Hawke. Don't need to say much more, right? Just go back, listen to those reviews. You'll get all of our views on Ethan Hawke. But happy birthday.
True story. All right, and then we have night. Or I'm sorry, November 8th, 1947, or is that supposed to be? I think it's supposed to be 1847.
Correct. My bad.
1847. Bram Stoker, the author of Dracula. Dave and I talk about this a lot. We love vampires. We love Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula is sort of the I would say the official vampire concept. Bela Lugosi's his version of him in the early 1900s, of course, as well as the sort of definitive look for vampires in general. So obviously we love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's so much stuff, right? So many vampire movies, tales, whatever else, spun out of this book, right? I mean, there are movies made about specific chapters of this book. Again, the Dracula movie is not the entire book. You know, we had that, what was that? The Voyage of the, what was that movie? The Voyage of the Damned, or?
Yeah, the last voyage of the Demeter.
Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah, that was based on a chapter of the book. You know, and you know, Nosferatu is, I got a lot of roots in this and everything else. This is it, right? This is what established vampires. I won't say maybe created per se, but it was a launching pad for so much media. Still is to this day. I mean, we get Renfield, we get all these other the remake of Nosferatu, that Last Voyage of the whatever. It's all coming from this book. So it's just. It's always hard for me to wrap my head around, when he wrote this book, no concept of what he was doing and what it would mean to whatever, pop culture or whatever you want to call it at that time. It's just unbelievable. But it was always a successful book. So, good stuff, right? I mean,
Yeah.
this is the guy that wrote the guidebook for vampires.
100%. He is the progenitor of vampires. So, happy birthday to you, Bram. Of course, this should go without saying. He's no longer with us. He'd be almost 200 years
Yeah,
old if
man. Be cool if he was.
maybe he is. Maybe he's a vampire and you just don't know
Never
it.
know.
True. But we're going to jump now to November 10th of 1950. We have Deborah Hill, of course, the writer and producer, one of the writer and producer of Halloween 1 through 3, The Fog, and many more. Very, very prolific, I would say, in the horror industry. And I mean, really, Halloween 1 through 3 is a hell of a thing to put on your resume. So I think it goes without saying that we both, and listen to their screams, loves Deborah Hill.
Yeah, I mean, she was the creative partner for John Carpenter and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
The first three Halloweens, The Fog, so much more, right? She either had a hand in writing, producing, whatever it might be, and again, she's not. I don't think she gets her credit, right? A lot of people, everybody knows John Carpenter. Everybody, knows the producers that funded it. But let's don't forget Deborah Hill and her importance in this franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. And then our last birthday is November 12th, 1991. We have Jenna Connell, of course, known for her role in Terrifier, Renfield, and I mean, perhaps less known, but she was also in the film The Bye Bye Man. from years and years ago. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jenna Connell is, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot more of her in more, larger scale films, and it's really exciting to see. But obviously, we love her in Terrifier, and I'll watch anything that she puts out.
Yeah, me too. And she's one of those that you would, it was cool because you watched Terrifier, right? You thought she was the final girl, but yeah, she wasn't. It didn't work out that way. And so it was kind of unique, but yeah, she's great. And yeah, I'm a fan of hers. She's like one of those bucket list people I'd like to meet at a convention. Again, you got to give props, right, for what Terrifier became. A lot of that falls on her shoulders. You got to give her credit for her performance in that first Terrifier. We talked about Terrifier at length last episode, but her performance is, again, it's very crucial.
Absolutely. 100%. Very crucial. I don't know where I was going to go with that, but I definitely think that she is sort of a false protagonist of Terrifier. And without that role in that film, we would not have the Terrifier movie that we got, for
That's
sure.
right. That's right.
But all right, we're going to jump now to our movie anniversaries. We've got a slew of these, so we'll try and roll through these as efficiently as possible. But November 9th, 1984, we have A Nightmare on Elm Street. On my street, just kidding. No, Will Smith rapping here.
That's right. I like
But
that.
I love that song.
That's
It's
right.
so stupid, but oh, it's so great.
That's right. Novelty rap's got a place, man.
Hell yeah. But anyways, Nightmare on Elm Street, obviously we love Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, come on, who doesn't like Nightmare on Elm Street? This is iconic. Legendary. We were literally talking about for Robert Englund. He's on the Mount Rushmore of horror for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier at length. We don't want to dive into it much more, but one of the more important pivotal movies in horror history.
Oh, absolutely. Undoubtedly. And but we'll go ahead and jump now to the other movie that came out on this day in 1984. It's just Silent Night, Deadly Night. I'm going to hazard a guess that Silent Night, Deadly Night did not perform as well as Nightmare on Elm Street did. But I guess something that Silent Night, Deadly Night can say is that they're getting a remake later this year.
That's right.
And Nightmare on Elm Street is still in developmental hell, so
Yeah, that's right. And Silent Night, Deadly Night is still a great movie. Absolutely great. But it got so much, there was so much protest involved because posters and whatnot in trailers, right? It depicted Santa as a killer. So there were mothers in uproar about this movie. And they picketed and petitioned. So this movie caused quite a stir, but it is a great movie. And one of those, yeah, it's getting a remake. We talked about this. It's one of those movies, I'm cautious about remakes, but this one is, it's almost like, yeah, it's been long enough, maybe it'll work. So I'm curious to see the remake.
absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm excited for that. It's got what's his name? Rowan Campbell in it from
That's right.
Halloween Ends,
Yeah.
which, I mean, for better or for worse, pretty iconic. But yeah, I'm excited for that remake as well. But all right, we'll go ahead and jump now to a 1-2 punch. November 9th of 1988 and then 1990, we have respectively Child's Play and Child's Play 2. 2 years apart on the same day, so that's exciting. Both of these are good movies. I think we've talked a lot about Child's Play, how much we love the series, and just the general, impact that this has also had on media, and how Child's Play again is one of the like longest running pop culture icons, with Chucky that we've ever seen. So.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to say a lot, right? Everybody knows the impact of the first movie, and yeah, we've talked about it at length, right? No one, I don't know that there is any horror character that's stayed more prevalent in the public eye than Chucky. So there's something to be said for that, and that's doing it with some movies that weren't so great, but it's still, everybody likes the concept of the killer doll, and they have done a great job of marketing Chucky, the character, and everything else over the years. But No matter what, I don't know. I can't argue. Child's Play, Child's Play 2. I love those movies.
Yeah, absolutely. But really good. It's a good 1-2 punch for this time of year. But we're going to jump now to November 12th, and there are four movies that were released on this day on differing years for the most part. So we're going to start on November 12th, 1982. We have Slumber Party Massacre, which I recently, not recently, but in the last year or two, watched for the first time. Hey, it's a fun little flick, and you can't take it too seriously, but it's fun nonetheless.
That's right. It was a good movie. Fun movie, typical 80s type movie. Got a remake. Love it. So go ahead. Let's plow along.
And then November 12th, also 1982, we have Creepshow. Creepshow, there's a lot of stuff that's come out of Creepshow. You have multiple sequels. You have entire, series about this. This was directed by George Romero, written by Stephen King. It's iconic. Yes, we both love
That's
Creepshow.
great movie. Great movie. Right. Yeah, if you've not seen Creepshow, boom. Do yourself a favor and watch it. So good. What it's one of those what do you call it? It's got segments, right? It's kind of a Tales from
Anthology.
the anthology, kind of a Tales from the Crypt-ish, right? Definitely spawns out of the concept of the EC comics of the day, but with Stephen King, Romero on board. So good. So good. Such a good and fun movie. Got a lot of great people in it. Gotta watch it.
True. It's preach. But moving on to 1998. Yep. November 12, 1998. We have a very low key, I would say, underrated movie from the time. We have The Faculty. Again, don't want to roll too long on this, but The Faculty is great. Has a lot of great actors in it. Josh Hartnett, who's making a sort of a comeback, was in this film, as long as a shit ton of other people. But it's great sci-fi from the 90s. A lot of people don't haven't seen it.
Yeah, again, yeah, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. We've talked a lot about the underappreciated movies from the 90s, and this was one of them. So, if, yeah, again, if you're missing out on the Faculty, just get out there and watch it. It's good stuff.
Amen. And then last but certainly least, November 12, 2004, we have Seed of Chucky. Again, won't talk about this for forever, but like, God bless. This is probably the worst Chucky movie in the entire series, in my opinion. It is just rough.
It's so weird though, because it's like it spawned iconic aspects of the franchise, so it's weird, right? It's like it's not that great a movie, but there's parts of it, right, which came back in the Chucky series and this and that. But yeah, we don't need to spend too much time. We did a rundown of the Child's Play series and what we thought of it. So if you want to know more thoughts on Seed of Chucky and where we rank that, just dig through the archives and you'll find that.
Absolutely. But all right, we're gonna move on now to upcoming releases. We have two. Most importantly, Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein is coming to Netflix on November 7th. The movie is described as a brilliant but egotistical scientist brings a creature to life in a monstrous experiment that ultimately leads to the undoing of both the creator and his tragic creation. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Dave and I are both incredibly excited for this. We both love the original Frankenstein. We love Mary Shelley's book, and we just love the concept. And this is a very exciting undertaking, and there's a lot of really big names attached to this, a lot of talent. But specifically, Guillermo del Toro being at the helm of this is what makes me most excited.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Del Toro is a huge Frankenstein fan. So, my gut says we are about to get the most genuine adaptation of the written word of, the written story of Frankenstein, and I'm very excited to see what that looks like. Right, he creates lavish movies, and I'm psyched, right? Some people have already seen this. It got a limited theatrical release, so I don't know what people thought of it, but I cannot wait to watch this movie. So and talk about it next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other release that we have going on is November 14th. We have Osgood Perkins' Keeper coming to theaters. It is described as a romantic anniversary trip to a secluded cabin turns sinister when a dark presence reveals itself, forcing a couple to confront the property's haunted past. Long story short, I will pretty much watch anything that Osgood Perkins decides to do. I mean, this dude pumped out some real weird shit, like Long Legs, the Monkey. There's some other stuff too. Like he was in Nope, I think. I think he actually acted in that. But you know, hey, I weird shit, but I'll watch anything he writes.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great track record. And he's, to me, one of those handful of modern guys. When you see his name, it's like, you know what? You don't have to tell me more. I'm going to give it a shot and watch it just based on him. Yeah, should be intriguing. I think it'll probably be, I have no reason to think it won't be a fun, good movie.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, that does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Halloween Aftermath. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back to Listen to the Screams. We've gone a little long. We'll plow through this review. It is of Halloween Aftermath, which is unique for us, right? It's a fan film, but it's got a lot of buzz online, a lot of people talking about it. We are both Halloween fans, so we thought, oh, this should be interesting. This is fun. There wasn't really anything else, you know, any big release to do. It just timed out perfectly. This movie was written by Cole Tatham, directed by James Graham, starring Ryan Jasky, Summer Martin, Cameron Gaxiola, and more. The movie was released October 17th on YouTube. We will have a link, again, in the episode description just for you to click, but it's really easy to find. If you just go to YouTube, search for Halloween Aftermath, it comes right up. And here's the thing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking on this. This takes place between ends and kills, which they establish. And they do a lot of good jobs of making you feel like you're in that universe, right? They put the radio tower in there. There's some other, the billboards. There's some other things they put in there to really give you that vibe that you are contained within that trilogy. Here's my takeaway. Fan films are frickle. They're a weird beast. You have to watch them with kind of a unique eye, because you have to comprehend that, right, they're not made with the same budget as what they're alluding to, or what they're paying tribute to. This movie, it did a really good job of giving that same feel of the trilogy and where it should take place. I thought it did a good job overall of that, you know, music wise, you know, visually, what have you. I thought the movie was quite a bit longer than it needed to be. I thought there were some very slow moving parts of this movie that I just thought. This movie, I don't know. To me, it had more story about people's interactions than the involvement with Michael Myers. To me, it had a little too much side stuff for me to make it true. But again, you know, giving with as a fan film, it was well done, well shot, well acted. Overall, for a fan film, and all that, again, a little long. They could have very much trimmed this movie down quite a bit, I think. I think it needed, I understand the trilogy, the Gordon trilogy, was a little light in places on the appearance of Myers. I think maybe the fan film would have benefited with a little more of him. I like that they established pretty quick where it fell in the timeline, and it really interlaced itself with the story of the trilogy right up right from the get-go. And I like how they utilized those events from Kills to establish themselves. It was a good job. But then I just think it got a little long-winded in some parts and drug a little getting to here or there. As far as a fan film, it was pretty good because, right, fan films, you have to kind of look at it with a different light. It was very much a passion project, but it was well done as a passion project. They didn't shortcut. They took their time, right? This was a long, long time in the making. And you could tell, right, that they very much invested their heart and soul and time into making this feel and look like it should fit. I just don't know if they landed story-wise, quite right. Again, it's a side story. You don't have the main characters. I understand a lot of that, but I don't know. I think they went a little long with some things that kind of made the movie drag a little for me. And they didn't lose me, but it was kind of like, oh, come on, let's get to it, and where's Michael? Let's and whatever. But not bad, not bad. By no means at all the worst fan film I've ever seen. But I don't know that I would hold it up there as, oh, this is as good as some of the Halloween installments. I don't know. You can definitely tell this is a fan homage. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but it is what it is. So again, I rambled a little bit there. Ike, what do you think of it?
Yeah, I think that the main takeaways that I have with this movie is that, okay, let me preface by saying that something you said is very accurate. When you watch a fan film, when you watch a movie that is not made by a major company or even like an independent film company, and it's literally something that, without saying this as a negative thing, it's basically just a bunch of people getting together doing something for fun. You know what I mean? That's effectively what this is. They're just doing this for shits and giggles, for the love of the game. For that purpose, you do have to look at it through a slightly different lens, which is that they don't have the same budget that, David Gordon Green had to make his whole trilogy. They didn't have the same amount of money that even Damien Leone had to make the Terrifier movies. So you have to think to yourself, okay, how far can they go? How much can they do? And give a little grace and credence to that information. So giving the film some grace, first thing, way too long. I mean, it is absurd to me that any independent filmmaker would want to make an over 2-hour movie. I don't know. To me, like, if I were going to make an independent film, which I have contemplated just the idea of, right? Just thinking to yourself, like, what would it take to make a movie? I 100% within that process was like, my movie is going to be no longer than 90 minutes. If I were to ever make a movie, no longer than 90 minutes. Because for fuck's sake, that is so much stuff that you have to fit in 2 hours. That is so much more, money. That is so much more resources. That's time. Like, it was, I'm pretty sure it was 2 hours and 20 minutes, if I remember correctly from.
It was.
So 2 hours and 20 minutes, what is that? 140 minutes. That is much longer than I think most of the Halloween movies run. And maybe not the new ones, but like the old ones. And I think that in of itself is the main issue I have with this is how long it went. Because I felt like they're trying to fit so much stuff in. And not to say that they did a poor job of doing all this, it's just that I think some of it could have been cut out, A, for content reasons, or B, just for the sake of cutting down time. And I do agree. I think that a lot of the story, a lot of the exposition, it kind of didn't really pay off in the way I think they wanted it to. They tried to get you invested in some of these characters and some of these secondary antagonists that were in there, some of these bully type characters. And it just really didn't just make sense to me. It didn't really pay off. It really felt like they were just making another Halloween Ends, but like to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
Because Halloween Ends also has that sort of bully secondary protagonist, if you will.
I felt that as well.
But at least with Halloween Ends, it had a significant payoff. You know what I mean? I think most people have probably seen Halloween Ends, so I won't spoil it, but let's just say they die. And but you know, with Halloween Ends, there was a significant payoff. With this movie, there wasn't. It just kind of seemed like a you know, fluff. And I think that's the big issue with this movie. Now, on the positive sides, I thought that all the acting was actually pretty decent. There were a couple of cheesy parts, but like some of the more emotional parts and scenes were actually pretty well done. It didn't seem hokey. There felt like some genuine talent was underlying there, and that's, you know, that's important for these independent films. And yeah, I mean, really, I other than the length, other than some of the content, I gotta say I overall enjoyed it. It wasn't an unenjoyable experience. You know, this does sort of help to kind of give you some sort of idea of what happened between these two movies. And you know, there is a significant time jump. And the other thing is that the they're not to ruin it, but Jason has a slightly different look towards the end of the movie. He sort of has sort of like a vagabond, like drifter kind of look. He's got like a hood. It very much reminded me of the Rob Zombie 2, Halloween 2 look of Jason.
Yeah.
So I definitely felt that was a little derivative, but otherwise I felt like even the look of Michael Myers was decent in this movie. And yeah, I think that's pretty much encapsulates everything that I thought.
Yeah. I think they would have been better off trimming down, worst case scenario, leave people wanting more. I would be curious a little bit to see, you know, people that engage and watch this, how many people are watching it all the way through?
Yeah.
I gotta feel that, I'm not saying the majority, but at least a considerable little chunk is getting lost and bailing out before. So, you know, that's not what you want, right? But again, as far as fan films go, quality wise, it was one of the better ones. Definitely had, you know, a solid look, a solid soundtrack, right? It definitely had the vibe that they wanted to capture and everything else. So I just think they, yeah, they were a little long in the tooth and ran a little long with it. Needed to maybe give a little more, you know, maybe another pass on that script and maybe another pass on the editing to trim it down because, yeah, I think they were a little overzealous in the story they wanted to tell. And I think you could have cut some of that story out and you wouldn't have lost anything. And you still could have got the overall principle apart. But again, I do see why there is a buzz because, right, there's a lot of fan films out there, particularly of Halloween. Quality wise, at least, this one was definitely one of the better ones. So I do get why it has gotten attention. I get that. So and again, I hope, you know, I hope that attention and everything else, you know, can vault them into. I would be curious to see what this team, these creators, could do with a unique concept, a unique idea, right? You know, they've got them. So what can they do with something of their creation? I'm always curious about that, right? You deliver this now. What you know? What story can you tell? And I hope we get to see that because, you know, that might work a little better for them. So, again, let's rate this thing. Again, it's very weird. It's very, I don't know. It's difficult, unique, whatever, however you want to phrase it, to try to rate a fan film because it's not the same standard. Right, you can't. It's hard to give a ranking to a film that is not on the same level. Right, these are just everyday people who spend a long time and probably a lot of their own money to create this. So it is difficult. So To be fair, in my eyes, I'm just going to kind of concede, give them the props for the effort and what they did accomplish. I'm just going to give them the flat out right at the middle three screams. The movie wasn't, didn't bore me to death. It had some enjoyable stuff. It's not necessarily one of those movies that I would, be dying to go back and see per se, but I wouldn't necessarily avoid it either. But I'm gonna give them their flowers. I'm gonna give them, the A for effort and what they did accomplish, knowing the limitations they had to face and the time they had to spend. And I'm giving them just that straight up 3 out of 5, and not knocking them any further than that. So, what are you giving them?
Yeah, I do think I have to agree. I think that given the kind of movie that we're talking about, it's a fan film. It's not like something they had all this money and resources to make the movie. So they really, truly made this for the love of Halloween. I think a 3 out of 5 is fair. I think that the film was enjoyable enough. This I will say when you rate a fan film, it almost seems a little more formulaic to the extent of you do not want to give them like a horrible score because you have to take into consideration they don't have the resources to make the movie, as good as they potentially wanted to. So it's a little weird, but I think a 3 out of 5 is fair. It was enjoyable. It made sense for the most part. And it kind of fit within the whole narrative of Halloween and that little time gap there.
Yeah, and they definitely did achieve, actually probably overachieved on some of the technical aspects, I think, as far as
Yeah.
being a fan film. I really do. It's not one of those, you see fan films, and still, while you're looking at it through a certain lens, you're giving them certain leeways, and some of that you didn't have to give with this, right? It did look very, very professional, and to an extent, so. They did good work. There was just, obviously some, in my eyes, some inexperience showing there, and maybe they got a little overzealous with the story they wanted to tell. But that's just me. That's just my take. And hopefully people will give it a chance, give it a watch. If you're a Halloween fan, again, we will put the link in the description. So just give it a click, give yourself a couple hours, and watch it. So give it a try. Like we mentioned earlier, next episode we will be reviewing Frankenstein. I'm very much looking forward to that. But we will talk about that next episode. Before we get out of here, we'd like to say thank you to our wives and then all of you listeners and followers for all of your support. Please be sure that you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for it, Listen to Their Screams or Listen, the number two in Screams. Also, be sure that whatever podcast platform you prefer, make sure you're subscribed to us. Maybe go ahead and hit that auto download so that each week when we release, it's automatically there and waiting for you when it releases. But that just helps us out, both with our listen count, download count, but also in those algorithms within those podcast platforms. Give us a rating, give us a review, help us out, because that's the only way we can network is if you guys help us with the word of mouth. So take a minute and do that for us. So, before we close this episode and get out of here, Ike, anything you want to add?
Oh man, just very thankful for the holiday season this year. It was fun doing Halloween, and we didn't get a ton of trick or treaters, but we got a couple, and it was neat handing out candy to a couple people. Otherwise, I had to take down my Halloween decorations obviously over the weekend, so that was a bummer. But here in a couple weeks, maybe in a week or two, might go ahead and get Christmas decorations up. Who knows? See if we're feeling frisky.
That's right. Well, you usually decorate around Thanksgiving, maybe a little before, but yeah, the Halloween stuff's all put away here too. We got zero trick-or-treaters, which I'm very disappointed about, but better luck next year. We'll see. I have
That's
told
right.
Monica that I am determined to decorate up enough that we are a destination stop for people to come to want to see our decorations. I'm gonna make people come, and I don't mean that in a weird way. I'm gonna be can't miss down the
That's
road.
right.
So that's my goal. I feel like that's what I can do. So, but I am excited because as much as I love Halloween, I do love Christmas probably is just as much. I love Christmas very, very much. It's a very festive, joyful. It's just such a fun holiday and lots of memories. And I love the decorations, and it just fills my heart with joy. So I am very much looking forward to getting a tree up and all that kind of jazz too. So that will be coming in the coming weeks. But there's always a few spooky decorations on the tree. We have those. We have, the ghost face, the art of the clown, a few others. They're always on the tree. They're always ripped. You can't fully put that spooktober away.
Nope.
So, but that is coming. So and again, there is a lot of good Christmas horror movies that I'm sure we'll at least mention in the coming weeks, because I do rewatch a lot of that during this time of year. So, and we do have at least the one new movie coming up, the remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night, and usually there's a couple others that sneak in there. So that is coming. So watch for that to come up. But again, in the near future, next episode, Frankenstein. So try to watch that on Netflix prior to. So that our spoiler-free review, you can at least have an idea of what we're talking about as we skirt around spoilers. So, all right. So, again, another successful Halloween season in the books, but that's okay. We're going to keep it spooky here on Listen to the Screams. So,
As always.
as always, so tune in next week when we'll do it again. So, until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.